Welcome to the skating session. My name is Tony Wheeler.
And I'm Thomas Vu.
And we're here kind of on delay, sorry for this, but we're here to recap the men's free skate from the Olympics and also briefly the pair short program that took place last night. We were in attendance for the men's free skate. We were like much of you, I'm assuming. It was just a very bizarre experience to be there. I was so excited by the short program. I truly do think this is one of the best skated start to finish short programs we've ever seen in the Olympics. The free skate, though, just from the beginning was the energy was off, and it was Friday the 13th, and this is a whole conspiracy of why would you put it on that day, but it just was weird. It was really, the energy was weird. Our seats, I don't want to complain about our seats, but they weren't really the best seats, and I think it took away a little bit too, because just the energy of where we were at, people were really shocked, kind of deflated right away. And I think it just went through all the way to the end.
Yeah, it kind of like just flew by for me, but in a way where I didn't really remember much. I remember saying this and thinking that in the arena. And, overall, wasn't the best night of skating. It wasn't the cleanest. But then to end that way, the way I was describing it was, I think everyone in the arena was having like a collective freak out. Like at the same time, we were looking around at each other, all reacting. We were with a bunch of fans, maybe new casual fans who didn't really understand the scoring. So they didn't know that.
They were fans, but they didn't understand the scoring. Yeah. And I kept saying in the middle of the free skate, because they're like, Do you think he lost? I'm like, even if they give him 100 PCS, which he cannot get now, Ilya is not winning the gold medal, and he doesn't have a medal anymore at this point. So it was just weird. We'll get to Ilya, and we'll talk to him extensively, but let's go straight to the winner, Mikhail Shadorov.
Yes.
From Kazakhstan. This is, I think it would be wrong if any other person would have been even close to winning on this night. He just far and away delivered. Questionable rotation on some of his jumps. And I remember even during his program, not even knowing that he's going to get up into the medals, I kind of turned to Thomas. I'm like, I think that should have been under review. And they were just weren't reviewing some things. I think that was true of a lot of skaters. So I'm not saying they held him up or whatever. And they actually are really harsh on him generally. So maybe they were looking the other way a little bit. He came away with just a Q on the quad lutz. Everything else was clean. Of course, he starts with triple axel, half loop, quad salchow, which is his thing.
And it was great. It was beautiful, clean, loved
massive
watching that
piston,
in person.
Massive
height. So like even just for that, it was kind of like the element of the entire evening.
So in the end, I think he had four clean quads. I hate the results because of the PCS, but the one interesting thing I will say is it's funny how the judges don't know what to do when the skaters start falling apart. When they skate clean, there's generally we're going to slot them into this position or this position. Sometimes we see in the Olympics that goes out the window and everyone just gets higher scores than usual. But when it's a night like this where everybody's skating like a mess, it's like they truly don't know what to do.
Right.
And the ordinals for the components start to be all over the place.
Like Shadorov has first through 11th, right, in PCS. Yeah. Even that though, like he has like such a huge lead overall, over like 11 points.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, even if he got 73 PCS, he's still the winner here. Yeah.
And that's what, and I've said it all season, and he kind of proved me wrong here, but I said, the judges are not responding well to this program, and they are constantly, for a world silver medalist, they were giving him PCS like in the low to mid 70s. So I'm like, they're going to do it again here. And then, of course, his PCS pops up and they give him almost 85. So they definitely went with it. I mean, there's no debating that he is the Olympic champion. I think he's probably still not letting it sink in. And, just watching his range of emotions from understanding that he got a medal to then understanding that he's now the silver medalist.
He was
probably so content with the silver medal to then the realization of the gold medal. Even when Ilya was hugging him, I think he didn't really realize what was going on.
It was really endearing, too. I think it was one of my favorite things of the night is just how endearing Shadorov was and is. It's just, he's just the joy and the shock, and that was the most really awesome thing of the entire night, is just watching him go through those emotions, watching him just be really proud of his skate, be really excited for his score, not even thinking he was going to medal, and then medaling, all that. Really cool to watch that progression and range of emotion.
If we're going, let's just go by overall, because if we start going by free skate, it's going to go a little bit messy.
But in silver, we have Yuma Kawagiyama, but that's after getting sixth in the free skate. And
typical for him.
For him this season, right? Yeah. But he's 11 points out of the gold medal. And you just think to yourself, he lands two of these or has lesser errors in some of these quads,
That's always the case.
For him.
What if?
Yeah.
In practices, he looks so good. Mm-hmm. He really was more or less one of. We watched practices the day before, and in my head, I almost wanted to do a video on this because I'm like, I'm so sure of this. Dumenic, I was convinced, was going to jump up to the podium based on his practice, and he was only like 2 or 3 points away from the podium. But I felt like other skaters were kind of out of it, and really, it did kind of track the same way from what the practices were showing, except Yuma's the outlier because he looked a lot better in practice, but then we already know it's like a hope and a prayer that he's going to get through these free skates without major mistakes. To me, you can't really argue his silver medal because of the strength of the short program, and that's time and time again kind of what does it for him. Mm-hmm. I think his performance was a little flat. I've said this whole season, like, I don't necessarily think that his free skate is magical, but seeing it in person, I did like it a lot more. Yeah. I just don't think it created the moment when you start off mm-hmm. so rough like he did.
And you're like the Georgian judge, you know, first in composition, 11th presentation, you know, and that's...
I wouldn't be that.
Scared. I know.
Based on how the field skated, there's no way.
But it was a messy free skate overall, 3 big errors there, but, you know, I really still did love his skating. I loved watching that program. It just... It was just kind of funny after he was done, you just felt like, oh, it's over. The script is written, right? And anyway, Shunsato is in bronze and by a point, really. A
little bit so close.
Everything from third all the way down, even to like seventh.
Yeah.
So close.
One jumping pass essentially made the difference. Yeah. Shunsato, so, you know, ninth place in the short program. It looked to me like he was deflated in that short program. I think that all of his energy went into that team free skate. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I was like, I truly wonder if that just did it for him where he thought he could do everything he could and it wasn't enough. So he was taking it very hard on himself. Free skate is his standard. You know, I don't think the Firebird is anything revolutionary. I don't think it's anything that exciting, but he delivered and he was able to climb up into the medals by actually less than a point, but he did it. And one of the best moments of the post kind of catastrophe that it was, is that Yuma was gunning for that gold medal, and it really, seeing how it played out, it really was his with kind of a decent skate, but Yuma gets silver medal, Shunsato's beside himself that he's getting bronze, and Yuma's like making him smile for the camera and giggling at him because Shun's crying, and Yuma's like, like, look at the camera, celebrate, you know? Like,
right, and I love that too, just kind of that contrast, because the whole season, what we've seen from, like, Shunsato is just that, like, oh, he's having these great skates, but it's his coach who's, like, the one freaking out.
But he did again.
Having the excitement, with the medal, right? Yeah. But, like, here you finally see Shun just release all that emotion, and that was just really, really cool. He seems like probably the happiest person, aside from Shinarov, at these Olympics, you know?
I think all three medalists were happy just because of the way the night was skated. Mm-hmm. You know, Yuma has to be a little bit probably...
He's
very in his head about a lot of things, and he gives these long quotes like, I'm going to try my best, I hope I don't disappoint people. So I'm sure there's a little bit of, like, but he comes away with another silver medal. He's like Mr. Mm-hmm. Second Place. But, you know, a legacy that includes, to this point, 2 Olympic silver medals. That's, like, nothing to kind of be feeling bad about. Junhwan Cha, this is my issue about this podium. If you go back to the short program, I mean, we said he was way underscored. And just watching the quality of his skate, he did win the PCS on the free skate, which is kind of shocking to me that they went for it after what we saw in the short program. But I would say, just based on the undermarking of the short program and just the overall kind of presence that he has that some of these other skaters don't have, like Shaidarov doesn't even have this presence. I would say that he definitely would have been on my podium. I don't want to take away from anybody that was, but I just feel like he was definitely deserving.
I agree with that. You know, I think we both think that, like, his short program should have been mid to high 90s, mostly because he was undermarked in PCS, given the 80s when he should have been, or in the 8s when he should have been in the
9s. Low 8.
He should be solidly in the 9s, in my opinion. So just with that, he'd be in the bronze medal position. But, you know, again, he had a great... enjoyable skate too. Yeah, you know, you had some
mistakes.
Yeah,
one big mistake.
Everyone did, right? Yeah. But I still really enjoyed his.
Yeah, he got it back together though, and this is a program he pulled back from last season after the one this year didn't quite work. And I was very cold on that program at the beginning of last season, but I just think he's one of those skaters that can set the mood on anything. If you watch him, especially between the short program and the free skate, they're so drastically different, but they both create this mood. So he's somebody that really is capable of pretty much skating to anything. Steven Gogolev in fifth place, cannot believe it. And second place in the free skate, if there were small medals here, he would be an Olympic silver medalist.
He's the surprise of this competition, I think, from the team event to here.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we definitely didn't see these great skates coming. I think a lot of people just had lower expectations, and that's, like, shame on us, right? Yeah. Like, is and again, like, second on the night, and I didn't even see that coming. You know, he had skated clean, and that lead just kept persisting, at least for so long in the for the long program, you know? So it was really great. He was rock solid. He was one of the skaters who we cannot claim had a messy night, so...
Yeah, and he was really confident in all of his jump landings. Now, we have been harsh on him in the past, to the point that we actually got an email saying how rude we are because of specifically Steven. Just, I don't connect to his skating. I feel like he's a skater that's not naturally artistic, and I feel like his work with Benoit, he's worked with him in the past as far as I know, but this year I feel like something just kind of clicked where he's at least trying to follow the music. I don't think he's going to be the most artistic person ever.
And a lot of the things, like, I was critical about in the step sequence, they made changes too. So, you know, they're all constantly trying to improve just, like, the program and the presentation of it. They got rid of that kind of, like, that his stare down with the judges, and it's just now him just trying to skate to the music. It's a lot better of an impression.
Gumenik, like I mentioned, I kind of thought he would jump his way onto the podium all the way from 12th place. And if I would have posted it the other day, I think people would have been like, you're crazy. But he was fourth in the free skate. And that comes after cue calls on three of his jumps and under rotation on one of them. But in the end, he did technically, well, he landed three clean quads. He went for five. Mm-hmm. And everything was pretty good. I do think he's a very artistic skater. I think that maybe his speed and maybe his overall kind of combination of everything that you're looking at in skating skills isn't quite as good, but I still think he's someone that has a sense of the music.
And I think a lot of it's just lack of international competition for him, because I still remember 4 years ago he was better, you know, in terms of, like, the storytelling ability, the skating, the looking up and actually being in the performance. Here you could see him looking down a lot, you could see nerves, just not typically how we would have seen him 4 years ago. But, you know, I feel like that's reflected in a lot of the PCS.
I mean, look at it.
Wild.
The 17th on skating skills. So you have one judge that gave the first, give 8.75, and the person that gave 17th gave a 7.5. So this is another case of, you know, I feel like the judges really, in their minds, they map out this whole season, like, this is what I'm going to do regardless, unless there's a complete meltdown like we saw at this event. And with Peter, they didn't have that opportunity because they haven't seen him. So what do we see? Right. We see ordinals all over the place.
And just going back, Gogolev too, he has a first through 15th overall, you know, like Shun Sato, he has a first through 10th, 11th.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of just wild variability here.
Yeah, again, we haven't rescored. We had a really busy night the next night following the men's free skate. We had some events to go to. So I haven't even looked into rescoring. I don't think this is something that we're going to do.
No, not for
but me. I feel like, you know, if you're going to stick with what the judge or the technical panel's calls were for the jumps, then I don't know that he could have climbed up much more. But I did enjoy his performance. His performance actually stood out amongst quite a few disasters. I don't want to keep saying it, but that's what it was. So Adam Siaw-Him-Fa, and the sad thing about him is he truly was about one jumping pass away from an Olympic medal. Like, he just needed to get one of these jumping passes back. But this is his short program, and this is from, I posted his short program on my personal Instagram account, and people by and far were like, he was my favorite of the night. He is so good. The way he moves. I wanted to skate, I want to be like him.
The abandon, the complete abandon when he skates. And I think that's what people connect to. Because it feels like freedom when he's skating. Yeah. And I really wish he could have replicated that for the long program. Because it would have been such a moment. Yeah. At the practice, I was explaining it to a bunch of volunteers. And these are great people, so interested. They still know nothing about the athletes. And how, you see him pulling his shirt down, even if he's not wearing the costume. It's like, he's revealing the creation of Adam and all that. But
if that's the most memorable thing you got out of that program, then
I'm trying to explain it to people, because they're like, why is he tucking at his shirt?
So I'm so disappointed. I mean, I know that he struggles with self-confidence, and he was really open about this, I think, around the time of Europeans that he did not compete in. But I think that self-doubt kind of creeps in for him, and he is just such a glorious skater. He's like nothing. I mean he's one of the He is one of a kind, I will put it that way, just in the way that he moves, and he makes every single performance time and time again kind of different and unique and an experience. And when the jumps start off so rough like they did, I mean, four out of his first five jumping passes in the free skate were not so good. And it just it's it sucks because you know you're if any the interesting thing to me is they clumped all these skaters into like maybe 80 to 85 PCS for the most part. I think Junhwan won the night with like 86 or maybe 87. But for me, even Adam with all these mistakes, he had much more of a performance than someone like Ilya, who ended up scoring more or less the same in PCS. Yeah. And I think he even still had more of a performance than someone like Shaidarov, who, you know, I'm again not taking anything away from his win, but if we're looking at the PCS and we're looking at the composition of the program especially, like this isn't making sense to me, you know? Yeah. And there are three components to PCS, and I'm not honing in on just one or the other, but across the board, I would say even if they're required to dip down the PCS because of these major mistakes, you still need to be realistic and not just throw everyone into this pack because you didn't think in your head ahead of time what you were going to do. I feel like it was a lot of that. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the top two, regardless of the PCS issues, probably would have stayed the top two-ish. It's more the three through everyone else, right? And how PCS shakes out could have drastically changed that order.
Because it was so close. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, again, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what they wanted to do, and it was kind of thrown up.
And I talked to some ISU officials about this. Like, when you have a bad night of skating like this, judges literally don't know what to do.
And that's all it is.
It's true. It's so true. They don't know what to do.
Ilya. So Ilya ends up in eighth place, 15th in the free skate. And Ilya has handled this with so much grace. Mm-hmm. And he did an interview with Andrea Joyce probably a minute and a half after he got his scores. He hugs Mikhail Shaidarov. Then he goes backstage and Andrea's standing right there to talk to him. And it hasn't really sunk into him yet, but he was very realistic in saying, I think I was overconfident. I thought I had this. One thing that we did not, I don't know if you know this, because I watched the NBC version last night just because I wanted to see how they called it, and it was really surprising. But in the Kiss and Cry, he said, this wouldn't have happened if they sent me to Beijing. Did you know he said that?
I read that.
I'm very surprised that he said that.
I mean, he and everyone else was thinking that probably, you know, and I think that Olympic experience does matter. I think it's important maybe in the future to have that up and come or go so they have that experience, because this whole experience for him must have been a shell shock from having to skate twice in the team event when he didn't want to, but did it for the team gold. Yeah. How much mental, emotional energy did he sacrifice, that adrenaline high, and then just the crash from how that adrenaline, how do you recover from that so soon after for the men, even with those 2 days off after the short program?
No, but the thing is, we were told kind of behind the scenes by people that would know that two things. It was, I don't want to say this officially because I don't know the facts, but I could see where this is true. I heard that USFS was very strong-arming both Chuck and Bates and Ilya to do both segments of the team event to not lose this gold medal, because it was clear. We did this, we knew it would have to be, they would have to do both segments or they were not going to win. And it was even still a little bit of a questionable win. We're not going to acknowledge that it was a runaway, but even with them skating, they'd won by 1 point, and some of those results, you know, could have gone the other way. Second thing that we heard is after the team event, sponsors and kind of appearances and parties and all this stuff, Ilya was part of all of it. And this was part of what he was expected to do. And it's like, I understand there's a few days in between these events, but you're getting them on a big emotional high. And you're kind of like breaking free of this bubble of like focusing on the Olympics to finish one event and then turn around and do the next event. And I wonder how much that played a part. You know, he's saying it was the experience in Beijing, and I wonder if that's just what came to mind.
Right.
Something right away, but
that's the first thought that comes into mind, just considering like maybe it's something he's had the thought of already. You know, he said it in 2022, I deserve to go. Mm-hmm. And you don't just let go of that thought. You're not changing your mind on that, especially somebody who has such a clear direction like him. Yeah. But I was just so impressed, though, like how he's just the sportsman. The sportsmanship was just so amazing. Immediately congratulating Shaidarov.
And Shaidarov, you could see he kind of was like, no, like this was yours. You know, like I can't.
Right. And you can see the friendship
you got it.
The friendship interaction was just really cool. And it was so genuine. Yeah. And it just made me respect Ilya so much more as a human being. You know, even if it wasn't the night everyone kind of, just be honest about it, the whole world is expecting this. This whole world is expecting the coronation. Yeah.
It was like one of the most obvious gold medals probably of all time, but that's when things can happen.
Exactly.
And the one thing that I don't like, just from reading around, there are people that know nothing about this sport. They know nothing about sports in general. They sit on their couches all day long and they judge everybody for the most random things. Like they have an opinion about every last thing. And when it comes to these athletes, they're always like, they blew it under pressure. They're not good enough. They're not an all-time great. And there's a lot of that because that's the easy way out for people that have never done this before. But they don't see the smaller competitions. They don't see the hours of practice. They don't see the emotional toll that kind of any sport gives you.
Like, I've had, I literally was explaining to people about, like, no, making him do both the team event, both programs, and then do the men's individual so close soon after, it was really telling, and it probably took a toll on him mentally, emotionally, physically.
I want to make it clear, we're not saying that they made him do it. I heard that they suggested strongly that it would be a good idea. That's right. What we've...
I mean, when you leverage, well, you can rest and just let the U.S. team get silver. You know, like, that's really the proposition he was in. And so he's basically, do I skate and get gold for myself and everyone else, or I just protect myself and just let the U.S. get a silver medal? You know, you can't win. He cannot win in that situation. Yeah. So I don't, it's, yeah.
And you know, for me, and if you've watched before, people are very, you hate Ilya. Are you happy with him? No, I don't hate Ilya. I actually really like his skating. Yeah. I think his PCS has always been overmarked comparatively to what the system says, like, not tremendously, but he's like a mid-eights kind of average PCS when you put it all together. For me, I was much more invested in this performance because you saw a real start to fight and a real kind of, he had to get into the program. He had to like start doing something as opposed to just checking off all the jumps. The interesting thing is, he landed that quad flip beautifully. You could tell he was going for all these extended held landings, like just so effortlessly. Even with the quad axle pop, he could have done triples the rest of the program and won that competition. He really could have done it. And I know that's not his character. He's not going to let off. If he's healthy and able, he's going to go for everything that he can. But it really was that kind of night where he could have watered everything else down and been an Olympic champion. I don't know. He probably way down the line might think about it. Maybe not, because that's not him. But I just don't want people to hit him too harshly, because he's very aware. He even said he thought he was too confident, and a lot of people are like, he called himself the quad god before he even, you know, but it's whatever. He was a young kid. He wanted confidence, and maybe he got it from that. Just let him.
And even then, he's the first to land a quad axle and has done it consistently in competition. He's earned that moniker, whether or not he had the performance he wanted. So I don't see an issue with that, and people should not be, you know, kicking him while he's down. I was just, again, so impressed by him, just the way he's handled that and the way he just showed this, like, congratulations, this even just joy for his friend Shiderov winning, and even his, like, what he's done after that. He hasn't sulked. He has chosen to go out, to be with people, to live, basically, enjoy the experience as it is. So I'm just really, it's good for him. He's,
And again, you know, when he would be a straight, probably, twos across the board with components if he was skating pretty well. Maybe a few ones in there if Yuma also skated really well. They might have split, but now you have him from second from Azerbaijan, still giving him 8.75 in presentation, which is to me a big But then you have him all the way down to some judges dipping down to the sevens. The Chinese judge has him 7.75 on the So yeah, again, you see that they don't know what to do, really. Not a performance he's going to want to remember, and that's it. It's the Olympic Games, and it's a different beast. So
just some, like, highlights from here, you know. Andrew Torgashev had two personal bests here, so it's a really great for him. He had that mistake on the second quad and never got the combination in. But, you know, he lands that, and it's clean. He's really close to a medal, and who knows if his PCS would have been a little higher without that mistake and pushed him into that third spot, you know. So there was just another someone else who could have taken advantage of that. And then I think, like, Kevin probably got some great PCS too, randomly.
He did. I think he was second in PCS on the night. Yeah, he was second in PCS. It was a sloppy performance for him too. I mean, he was fighting the whole way through. And I know he's dealt with injury the whole year. He put the loop back in, which I've always questioned why he's doing the flip and not the loop when he gets called edge on the flip and losing GOE for no reason. But the loop was a mess here too.
It's not even like a close. It's so it's such a bad outcome.
Well, he got called for a warning on that. But still, it's like, I don't understand the logic behind. I think it's the federation saying keep it like this.
One else we want to point out here.
Everyone kind of fell apart. Alexander Slavko's free skate in person, I liked it on, you know, watching it on TV, but in person, it's really beautiful. So drastically different. He's another one between the Prince short program and this very classical free skate. He moves so well. Vasilyev's, I love him as well. I just question why you're putting Saberdance at the end of a program when he completely loses steam. And there's bombastic music going that he's barely keeping up with. Yu Siang Li finishes, you know, he's in 23rd place, but he actually skated really, really well. And he's someone that I was so thrilled. I kept watching on the screen to make sure that he was going to make the free skate. I was like watching to see if he'll get into that top 24. So I was so happy for him. Adam Hagara, you know, he finishes in 24th place here, but he is the future. This was a really, really off day for him. And same thing for Kirill Marsak. I mean, he had that such a high moment in his short program that put him in 11th place. He did not really keep it together in the free skate, but all of these guys should be so happy for just even getting there and then qualifying to the free skate and being in the Olympic Games. It's a big deal. I have no other real thoughts about the men. This isn't a competition I'm going to seek out to rewatch. I Shidorov's so young, I'm assuming he's going to stay. I heard he got a $250,000 bonus. He's getting a good car from Dimash, who's the artist of his free skate. His life is going to change in a big way.
Yeah.
Behind his team, not only Alexei Imranov, who's Olympic champion, but Dennis Ten's mother. If you're kind of newer to skating, if you don't know the story of Dennis Ten, he really burst onto the scene. I think in 2009 Worlds, he was like second in the free skate. He was like amazing, and no one had known him. He was still a junior. 2014, he wins a medal at the Olympics. He wins the bronze medal. He was staying in. He went to 2018 Olympics, didn't have a great experience, but he's like, I want to stay in longer. The summer of 2018, he was at home in Kazakhstan, and he noticed from across a park or something that people were trying to take like the hubcaps or something off his car, or maybe it was the side mirrors or something. He went and approached them, and he got stabbed to death. And it's a huge tragedy in skating. You know, it was one of the darkest moments. His mother continued the legacy of Kazakh skating and was still very involved. And seeing her reaction to his medal, to Mikhail's medal, was really amazing. So if anything out of this night, you know, this was a really, for him in general, just a great moment, but also for Mama Ten. So
And Dennis Ten's legacy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to pairs really quickly. It was such an amazing start to the night. I was like, damn, why didn't we get tickets, you know?
I know.
But then it kind of fizzled out towards the end. Like, unfortunately.
So you have two of the, well, you could consider the medalists or even gold medal contenders, not even in the final group now. So just with that, you know, first place, not really surprised that they're first, just to everyone else that that's a surprise. But Haas and Volodin had a great skate. Maybe a slightly messy issues here in the step sequence, but you know, that's really it. And relative to the night, this was awesome. I really enjoyed it. Loved the side-by-side triple sock house. They were so solid, close together. Throw so smooth coming out too. It was just a really great performance. I'm glad they got to have that.
I thought they were tight, and I loved them.
I
thought they were very cautious. They're always a little bit slower. You know, they don't bomb around the ice like Conti Massi or definitely not Mura and Kihara. I just thought they were not really giving it all, but they were very. They just wanted to make sure they got through the program. Right. And look what the result is. They have a 4.5 point lead, and it's not over the potential favorites. Like, the potential favorites are even further down. So maybe they went the right way about it. But I do love their skating. It's very clean. It's very, I think their lines are just very nicely matched. And I enjoy them. Medelkina Buralava from Georgia. This is the team that I kept saying, if they skate clean in the Olympic short program, I have a chance to win. Those first few elements are a thing of beauty, usually. the throw was not.
I know. It's a surprise. Like, that's been rock solid, like, the whole season.
Yeah, so they probably lost, I don't know, they probably lost about 2 or 3 points. They weren't going to win the short program, but they would have set themselves up better for a medal, I think, because it's all so close right now.
And then the surprise again.
Well, Medelkina Buralava, let's just really quickly, they do have great twists. They have great, I love how they bomb into their side-by-side solikows and they kind of extend their arms out afterwards. And they're one of the closest teams as far as side-by-sides go. I mean, half the time the people are off the screen if you're watching it on TV when they do these side-by-sides.
And just to call a shout out to them too, they got 2 fives for these side-by-side triple solikows. No one's giving fives out in GOE and pairs for jumps. Yeah. You know, this is almost unheard of that a team is earning that.
Yeah, but then the death spiral is always a little bit. You get to the lift and it's kind of like
yes
he just steps awkwardly. I think he needs to like step closer in, and I've talked about it before, so I don't want to keep talking about it. But yeah, the end of the program kind of fizzles out to me. So I understand why it's hit or miss for a lot of people. Pereira and Michaud, yeah, as you were going to say, a huge surprise.
Surprise of this at the team competition too. They really pulled their weight in the team competition, and they're just continuing that momentum here into the individual. Yeah. I was so impressed. That score, it held up, you know, like they were the ninth team to take the ice. Mm-hmm. Yet here they are sitting in third place with a score in the mid-70s. Yeah. That's really awesome for them, you know. And we hadn't really seen them have this momentum up until this competition. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here they are making a statement. They're going to be in the final group. That's like...
Yeah, that's a big deal amazing. For the Olympics. Yeah.
Yeah.
They skated well.
Yeah.
I mean, they skated well. I do think they're lacking behind these big-name teams. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're technically, you're clean, and some of these bigger teams have the massive mistakes, then this is what happens. I was pleasantly surprised by their score. I don't know that they're going to really... be able to shift the results in the free skate, because we already saw them have a really good skate in the team event, and it was, you know, like 135 in the free skate. Mm-hmm. We'll see if
final group boost, yeah. their PCS is going to go maybe solidly the mid eights in the long program, like we've seen happen. Yeah. And what you're seeing here, one of the biggest point gainers are going to be these lifts. They got straight threes for the most part for their reverse lasso.
Yeah.
So if they can keep up getting those higher GOE for these lifts, they can put themselves in to continue to play spoiler like they did here in the short.
Yeah. Pavlova and Sviatchenko, we all know that I love this team. I think that I would make a case for them to push towards second place in the short program, to be honest with you. And it's not, I understand that their death spiral, I understand that across the board, their elements are capping at +2, +3. I understand that. But I think that the choreography of their program, I think that their unison, I think that their lines, really, they're just so strong. There's never any doubt. That triple toe that she did was so huge. I'm like, was that a double? It was so effortless.
Yeah.
And I respect the choreography so much. I think the composition of this program is really good. And their presentation's still a little bit muted. I'm not going to say they're out there, but they've just progressed so tremendously. I could see... where you could put them potentially in second place here. But I'm super happy that they are in the final group as well, because I think that this is, I don't want to say it's a phenomenon, but I think that maybe they'll get scores that are a little bit more realistic now that they're in that final group.
Yeah.
Mira Kihara, so all week long, just bombing through everything. The throws are so effortless. Her side-by-side triple toe, no question about rotation all of a sudden. Just everything looks good. I saw their coach Bruno during the men's free skate in the concourse, and I ran up to him. I was all excited to see him.
Yeah.
And I was like, they look insanely good. And he's like, we're not going to talk about them. I don't want to jinx them, you know, because they looked so good.
They really did.
But the general consensus is this is the best they've looked prepared probably since the last Olympics, because they were really kind of looking good 4 years ago, and then it kind of got off. I don't even know what to say. Like, they get through the difficult stuff. Yeah, and it was a freak accident. And they both said, like, it's both partners. They both said, like, it's both of us. It's a balanced thing. Something was just slightly off. It happens. But I really, really was...
He was so despondent after, though.
He was. And Bruno said immediately, listen, it's not over. It's not over.
I love that.
Yeah.
He immediately is like, get out of this mindset.
Yeah.
You don't have time for this mindset right now.
Yep. Yeah.
And you really don't.
Yeah,
I'm really glad that he immediately addressed it. You know, that's
like, calm down. You know what? It's a mistake. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're out of it based on how they scored in the team.
I do not
think if they skate clean, I think that they're there's no question that they still have a chance at this gold medal.
Yeah.
Even coming not from the final.
And
group.
I think they're going to need some help from Hasan Volodin. I don't think they have a 7-point.
Hasan Volodin have not been skating.
Exactly. They haven't skated clean this season, really. That's what you need, because the last time we saw them was Europeans and they fell apart.
Yeah.
And got lucky.
And I don't want that to happen. I want it to be really close.
But again, like,
but I don't
even
think...
men's chaos is possible. Even in this short program here for the pairs, chaos is possible.
Yeah.
And then Sui and Han, I honestly think they're overmarked here.
Me too.
This sixth place is really high. I didn't agree with some of these components in the eights, because everything was just really, really flat.
If they had done their triple toes, they probably would have put them in first place or close to it. You know, you have to assume.
I'm not four here. Yeah. I just felt like everything just kind of had like a bit too overscored in GOE here and there. Even like that, the first lasso lift didn't feel as steady. The everything all the way through. And the step sequence, I got really bored. It was lagging. It felt heavy.
Yeah.
Yet still you're seeing pretty high GOE here. And so I would have had them like below...
Chan and Hao, maybe.
Below Chan and Hao.
Yeah.
Yep. I would have had them below Chan and Hao.
Below ninth.
ninth, yeah. not even in the final two groups here. Yeah. And, you know, I think Chin and Hao get a little screwed out of that final group.
Yeah. Camus Lachey, you know, keep the good luck going for her, I guess.
Yeah.
I will say, though, they gave them a zero GOE on that throw loop. I mean, I understand, like, it's not a high jump. It's not, it doesn't get distance. She puts her hand down, like, very obviously. I'm saying the zero, this is another thing. I understand the positive and the negative feature, whatever, the criteria, but it's not a zero. It's not a zero throw, in my opinion. I just don't agree with that. And, you know, they were way off on the combo spin, but once again, their choreography is so strong. That lift, and even all of, actually across the board, their levels are not fours. They got a four actually on the spin that was a mess, but everything else was a level three, even the lift. I would have to go back and see why they got a level three on that. But that is always, like, that's one where you see there's a lot of fours in there. That is a highlight.
Yeah, you know, that lift is so good. And I actually think their PCS is undermarked here. I would have gone a little higher for composition, presentation here, maybe even skating skills too, where they're actually really good.
Yeah.
Some of the best in, like, the world, really, in the field here.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument too to have them in that fourth place position just based on me. I think their PCS is undermarked.
Who would you push out of there? Metalkina?
Pavlova.
No. Their program is so strong and they were clean. Don't be crazy. No.
PCS. But then right behind them, Conti and Machi, and
so unfortunate. They look so on fire.
He steps out of that triple saw cow, and that was just enough to push them down. And they just had, like, some quality
issues. Threes across the board for their levels.
Yeah.
And they're a team that, no, almost regardless, they're, like, zero or plus one GOE. Like, always. The judges do not, and I understand why. Everything's a little bit sloppy. But I think if you're looking at PCS, give them all the PCS. I think Matteo Zeni has done an amazing job to differentiate this program from anything else they've probably ever done. And they are so into it. They give this Italian player with the arms, and they're just so fiery, and she can sell anything. And then he's kind of her equal in doing that. It's just, it's so full of extra difficulty. They do, like, this cartwheel thing directly into the death spiral. And then there's kind of like a dance lifty spin thing that they do. I like all of that stuff. And I think that if you're comparatively looking, there's a lot more content within the element.
Totally agreed here. Yeah. But you know, they're in the penultimate group. I really do
still think can shake it up.
It really is. Like, this podium still feels super wide open. Yeah. Aside from, like, first place where there's, like, a big lead, everything's catchable here.
Yeah, even it's that four first points.
Place is catchable. Yeah, exactly. It's 4 points
here. Not even 4 points.
And so I'm actually kind of, like, excited for the free program. Maybe we'll get tickets tonight if we can find them. There's barely any. The demand is so high here right now. There were some A-level being sold again.
Yeah, for $880.
I know, right? So we'll see how that works out. Yeah. And then a little unlucky to be in ninth place here. Chan and Hao, you know, they are fifth in the skate order. Their PCS isn't as high, you know, just due to that.
Yeah.
They have a really good skate for them, you know, getting those triple toes out of the way, landing the loop relatively well too. They have issues again with, like, the side-by-side spin like a lot of pairs did in this competition, just from, you know, nerves, fatigue, whatever. But in the 70s for their short program, that's something they used to hit, and they're back there in that point again after a while. So again, some bad luck to not make the penultimate group. But
Ghilardi Ambrosini, just let's wrap up this top 10 with them. Again, a lower base value because they only do side-by-side double axles. Their coach has been in my ear all week. They're hitting every single practice. Go to practice, you'll see. And I did go to practice, and they had a good day that day. And I've seen the videos. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know, they'll get it together. And they did. They proved to me that they're ready for this. And they look really good.
And they, you know, had said they were going to retire after the Olympics. Yeah. But, you know, maybe they'll go for one more competition to Worlds, considering how well they're skating right now. You know, and we hadn't seen them skate this well in quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vipe and Law and Digby, I just want to make special mention of them in 13th. They needed to be really, really clean because we saw the team event and it didn't go well for them. They had to skate, all these teams that made it had to skate clean because it was so close that cutoff to not making the free skate. I mean, Stellato Deschamps, who were right behind them, made the free skate by less than 2 points. That's the level of skating that there was.
Yeah.
But going back to Vipe and Law and Digby, I was so happy. I think they are so improved from where they started out. And I constantly like watching them. Yeah. Akhipova and Rachmanin, they skated first and they skated clean. I'm happy to see them into the final. And then, you know, Stellato Deschamps, so they're in 14th place. I think they actually looked pretty decent.
Yeah, I thought so too. I was surprised by how well they were skating until that freak fall out of the exit from the lift.
So people are asking what happened, if they like clipped blades or whatever. I think what it was is that he set her down too close to him.
Yeah.
And when she kind of went backwards, her center of balance was too far already in the wrong place. So it just tripped her up and she hit probably her heel. I don't know. I would need to rewatch it, but... they got, you know, it is considered to be the exit of the lift. So then after that, you get through this entire lift and everything's fine, you still have to go -4, -5 for this element because of the way it finished. That's just, that's how it is. So they did lose. They said in the kiss and cry, I think their coach said 5 or 6 points lost. So
5.5.
You know, you give them those points back and they're also with this skate. They're also right in there. But I think that they're far enough back now that it's going to be... kind of a lost
skating way too early first group.
So Danilova and Siba, I just want to make special mention of them. They're a team that got in really, they had to fight to have their Olympic committee, the Dutch Olympic committee, to send them, and they had a great skate for them. And
so got undermarked,
and I think they did get undermarked too.
I would have put them in the
16th over Kovalev.
Yes, 100%. They should have been in for the Kovalev.
Absolutely.
You could tell they were surprised by their score too. Yeah. They shot it should have been higher, and they were just really lowballed in PCS.
Yeah.
They got sixes, you know, and I'm like, they're not a sixes team. They're a sevens team.
Yeah.
So if they just got proper PCS, they would have made the freak gate.
Yeah. So they lost out by six tenths of a point. Sorry. Yeah. And then Nagaoka Moriguchi finished in last place here, and they were a team. I'm so disappointed. I understand that their energy level is so high that you can let things go. Her side-by-side loop has been looking really consistent in the last few events, at least in the short program. They've been hitting it, but here she falls. Then the throw is a fall, which has always been an issue for them. They are such a dynamic team. I would have loved to see them make the free skate, but on this night, even with just one mistake, they probably weren't going to make it anyways. So they're you know, they're last place. And very, very... he was very supportive of her, and I see even in the social media after the fact, they've been very supportive of each other, and I know that there's big things to come from them. If they finally hit, they will be up into that final group. I promise you they will be that team that steps in, more so than probably any other team in this field, that can just jump right up to the top. And I'm fingers crossed that their training situation, they get to that point.
But yeah, you know, they've been in their new training camp for less than a year now.
Yep.
So, you know, give it some time. I think we're going to see really great improvement from them, especially performing outside of Japan. I think they're going to start doing that better and better.
So the free skate is about 7 hours away.
Oh God, that's so crazy.
We are leaving tomorrow. And to be honest, I'm going to just tell you guys, if you do go to the Olympics, it is like... it just seems like it's so tiring. I don't know why, because there's only one event a day as far as figure skating goes, but it just seems so exhausting to me. It's much more exhausting than sitting.
World is easier.
Yeah, you sit in the ring for 17 hours.
And you're just in one place.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pretty constant. This is spread out and...
routine that's easier to follow at Worlds.
Yeah, so we'll most likely... The demand for this Paris free skate has been tremendous from the start. This is the first event that I think sold out. They just released some more A-level tickets recently, but the resale, there's barely anything there. So I'm assuming we're going to watch this on TV as well, which is okay with me.
I know. I can't believe I'm saying that, because I was so like, we got to go see the Paris free, you know? Yeah. It's like, if we don't, we don't.
Yeah.
I mean, but we got to see dance. We got to see men's. Like, that was kind of just really amazing, so happy about that. But, yeah, that's it for right now.
Yeah, we're back to the U.S. tomorrow. We have a long trip, and we will miss probably almost all of the women's short program, if I'm not
incorrect. Yeah, it starts right in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will highlight that eventually. We fell a little bit behind just because we've had other things going on. We had lunch with Belinda Noonan, who, if you've been watching the Olympics since probably 98, maybe even before that, you've probably heard her voice in some capacity, because she's been doing this for at least since then. She... knows her stuff, and she, if you don't know your stuff, she's gonna know right away. I'll say that she's very just book smart about every little nuance that there is with skating. So we had a fascinating lunch with her.
Obsessed. I know. Hashtag.
Yeah.
Thank you. So Belinda, hi. I know you'll be watching this later. And just hi. Thank you again. Thank you for being so gracious. And honestly, everyone who's talked to us has been so gracious, so kind. ISU officials, USFS officials, commentators. Like, it's been really great to just even meet more people that we've seen from afar, that we've had this respect for, and to get some of that return to us. I know I felt more than Tony did. Tony's just like, Thomas, stop. But, you know, I just thank you all. Appreciate it.
I don't know. I'm just like, I know a lot of these people already. So for me, I'm like, it's okay. You'll be okay, Thomas.
I'm just like, I got an A. Thank you.
Thomas, you're almost 40 years old.
No, I know, right? Life. I know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it is. It's very nice that we did have people come up to us during the men's free skate, actually, that are involved in official capacities for federations and say, we watch you. We agree with you. So nice to see you. Yeah, and then I don't know what else, when we're going to get this other thing. I'm going to be very tired when we get home back to the States. So we'll get some pairs review probably in tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, ideally. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've really enjoyed this experience. So yeah, thanks again to everybody that has contributed in kind of giving us tickets or helping us with tickets and just events that we've gone to and these lunches that we've gone
to. Just everyone who's watching too, you know, our Ice Dance Free Dance breakdown of the top two has just really like got a lot of traction. We got a lot of compliments for that too. I mean, it's from some big names,
from coaches.
Yeah. And just everyone who's engaging with us, giving us your takes. I mean, we love that. I love reading what people have to say, their own personal impressions. It's kind of really interesting to see how similar this experience was just watching for everybody. So just thank you all, yes, for being engaged and talking to us.
And we love, I don't think I'm the professor of figure skating, but I love explaining things that people don't understand because they've never been given the tools to truly understand. I don't think commentators anywhere, at least if you're in the U.S., you're not going to hear Tara and Johnny get into these specifics about ice dance. People didn't understand these positive criteria versus negative criteria. They don't understand how you can – the level doesn't correlate with the GOE. Just so many things that – you know, I've known this forever, and I would assume that people that watch all these events know as well, but they just don't because they've never been taught, and the ISU site is a mess, and there's different documents that you kind of have to pull together. So I love – going line by line. Now, are we going to go back and do all of the free dances, blah, blah, blah? Gilles Poirier, I'm sure at some point we will. I think this is like a summer thing, though, where we can like go back and look at some competitions and just see where we think it went right or wrong. Gilles and Poirier will probably get up at some point between now and Worlds. But if you have any other ideas of like scoring you really want to get into or competitions that you thought were a little bit questionable, again, we don't know everything. This is still a little bit of subjectivity, but
to do stuff in the 90s, it's going to be 100% subjective.
Yeah, because there were no rules back then. There were very minimal rules. Short program had rules. Free skates, like, do whatever you want.
Yeah, right, for real.
But I understand that some things could be like, oh, that was a plus one and not a plus two. Like, there's a little gray area. But for the most part, you know, there's some really questionable calling going on by the dance judges if you are using this matrix to where you cannot find positive features to get to these scores that they're giving them. You just can't.
Right.
And it's more so reputation judging. And I hope going over these things like this really makes them, it's not going to, because we have people that don't want to put the effort in that are actual judges. But I hope it really makes the ISU evaluate who they choose as judges. Maybe it needs to stop being just federation supported and you just throw them on the panel. You don't know really what any of their skills are besides probably passing a basic competency test. There needs to be more sense in what the judging is. And there needs to be clear language too. Like the serious errors thing, I'm kind of getting into it in the comments with people because they think that like things that were not serious errors should have been serious errors to the point that the PCS should have now been 8.0. And I'm like, that's not a serious error. It says specifically at the top of this table, serious errors. And I understand there's a gray area when you don't specifically say what a serious error is, but like, it's just, it's.
And not. I had someone confirm, like I even asked like some people on ISU iStance technical committee, I'm like, were there serious errors in Fournier, Baudry, and Cicerone's free dance? And like, no, none of those errors were serious errors.
Exactly.
No. They were minor.
Well, we could have actually gone up even higher on the PCS, which we wanted to, and it would be even more of a difference. So it just that is how the system is. I'm not asking for the system to be switched completely to benefit Chalk and Bates for this gold medal. I just thought it would have been closer, but I'm a fan of following line by line. I'm just not a fan of choreographic elements getting all these GOEs assigned to them. And I've said this forever. This is not a new thing. This is not me throwing an excuse out to try to make sense of what I saw. But I think that there's a lot of things that need to be changed in the sport. And there needs to be more elements that really directly compare the skaters. I don't want them like this versus this, but elements like the midline, elements like the twizzles, elements like the 1 foot, those are really what are differentiating people or should be. But you're getting through the twizzles and the top teams are getting +4 or +5 almost automatically. And it needs to not be like that. Just because you get through them does not mean that there's some nuance to it. Anyways.
Rant over.
That's been my rant for what? I said,
years, Tony.
No. Someone made a comment like, you guys need to be like in support of the judging being fair all the time. I'm like, I've literally been doing that since I was a toddler. Like, essentially, you know, I've been doing this since the beginning of time to say it needs to make sense. This isn't me coming out of nowhere to say, I don't like the result, change it.
Right.
Over the summer, before actually, it needs to be before because they're going to probably release the whole new season thing before that. I want to go through and just say all the things that I would change. I know that they're going in a completely different direction, or that's the goal, that
long-term goal. Yeah.
Yeah. But there needs to be things that could be fixed and should be fixed. And there's things they've already fixed. Like I said a long time ago, the GOEs should be based on a percentage of the total score, not this +1, +2, +3 junk that they had at one point, because it doesn't really make everything equal. Just there's a lot that they can do. The next step would be if there are serious errors, I think that the technical panel should call it as a serious error with a simple push of a button. And if you hit 2 serious errors, you void out every single score that's not possible. I was told that they're not allowed to do that because every score needs to be available to the judge per the ISU constitution somewhere. So that will never be a thing. Take that line out of the constitution.
You can change the constitution.
They just exactly.
Did
it. Yeah. So,
right?
Yeah.
So
we'll get into all this for another day. But I would like to help the sport go in a direction that is more beneficial to everybody. I would like there to be more differentiation than just propping all these skaters up to the same scores and reputation based and all of that. But so Paris Free Skate is tonight. Fingers crossed that everybody has, at least the top teams have a better night. Everyone else skate like they did in the short program because it was really an outstanding night up until that final few skaters. We'll be back to recap hopefully tomorrow. If not, when we get back to
the or some random time in the airport.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. So again, our dance video really hit like big time with a lot of people. I think a lot of the skaters have actually watched it as well and given us their input.
We know that.
So. Yeah. So thank you for all of that and the promotion. Please. On Instagram, I was shut out of Instagram for 3 days, by the way. We have to go into this. Olympic videos that I took, they were my own videos. One of them got flagged as like IOC copyrighted stuff. I tried to appeal it. I lost immediately because it's all AI generated now. There's no one to talk to in person or like on an actual person. So I got shut out for 72 hours, couldn't post anything, couldn't reply to any messages, nothing. And the page would like barely load. It would have this big pop-up that said, you're banned for whatever, 72 hours. It's back now. But if you guys do watch our videos and you take like a picture of you watching or whatever, like someone took a picture with their cat in it and just some other, like all the screens up watching, saying they're enjoying. If you want to do that, we'll reshare everything.
Oh, love
we
that.
Love
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Super cute.
And again, write to us on Instagram. I respond to every last message I get. I'm not like, I don't want to reply. No, I'm very big on that. So if you want to communicate and share your own thoughts, do it. And I know Thomas is the same way. We are wrapping this up now. Again, we'll be back with the Paris Free Skate eventually and to wrap up the whole Olympics at some point. And then we get into the women's free skate or the women's competition.
And the women's may just be one video for both phases at this point for us because we're
flying.
Yeah. We'll be exhausted.
Yeah. Yes. But for now,
this
is the skating session. My name is Tony Wheeler.
And I'm Thomas Vu.
Thank you for watching as always.
Bye, everyone.